You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 14 August. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, we'll chat with Nissan Nair from Sasfin, talking markets, Exxaro, telcos, Viv Govender, China trade wars. Is China going to respond back? That's the big question. And then we're talking to Law Trust, part of the listed Etienne Group, and there's a double revenue and profits. This show is proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb: state's infrastructure program criticized for lacking details. And from Business Day, top COVID-19 advisor Karim warns of second coronavirus waves. Morning markets are mixed in the US, S&P off 0.2%, NASDAQ up 0.3%, Asia green, Sydney up 0.7%, Tokyo up 0.1%. Commodities mixed, inverse of yesterday, most is red, oil is green, gold 1959, Rand 1743, and top 40 opening call for a red open, but literally a couple of points down.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now
with Simon Brown
on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nissan Nair. He is portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities. Nissan, appreciate your time this morning. Exxaro results out yesterday. This is a stock which it seems to have been cheap forever in a day. And certainly coal's important, but the market doesn't seem to be loving it. What was your take on results and the market response?
Morning, Simon. Yeah, you know, they did have a trading update a few weeks ago, which, you know, if you compare it to the likes of Kumba, you know, the Billiton results, the Angus results, it didn't really make that much of an impact. We know that production was an issue for a lot of the mines given the lockdown, and you even saw that in Kumba. But I suppose it's really a question of coal versus iron ore in the box. You know, the coal price really hasn't done you know, what the likes of iron ore and copper has done. And I suppose that's translated into Exxaro's results. We know that they do have big iron ore exposure, actually through Sishen. But the coal mining business, which is have been their focus, you know, has not really performed the way a lot of people would have hoped they've performed. And all of that is their fault. You know, they're heavily reliant on the export market. They're heavily reliant on Eskom as well, which is not really a place you want to be in. So I suppose that's why, as you said, it looks cheap. It feels cheap. It feels like the sort of thing you want to invest in. But a lot of investors not wanting to dip their toes into that particular pool at the moment.
Yeah, that's a great point. It looks cheap, feels cheap. Everything about it is cheap. But if the market doesn't agree with you, if it's not going up, well, you know, I suppose we move on to something else. We've seen MTN and Vodacom both moving higher. The market initially didn't, you know, that trading update where MTN said no dividend seemed to have spooked the market. But it's moved on from that, and the telco's looking good. Do you have a preferred in the space, or perhaps a preferred which is neither?
we've had exposure to Vodacom. It really, I suppose, it peaked a few years back at the sort of 180-odd rand level, but never really recovered from there. You know, it's been in this kind of a malaise the telcos have been in. Although MTN got sold heavily, when the oil price tanked, and now I see with the recovery in the oil price, you're seeing a big recovery in the MTN share price, even after they announced that they're going to exit the Middle East. So I suppose with MTN, it's always been a high-risk play, and the fact that they are now trying to limit their exposure to some of these high-risk geographies is making them a less risky option for a lot of investors, and making them sort of a pure utilities play, I suppose. Mm-hmm. They're trying to migrate towards that. But I think once the dividend comes back, you can expect a much bigger improvement in MTN share price. You know, Vodacom, I think, is a much option for us. But, you know, it's not going to the growth that expectations that we've had for these telcos, I think, have been a little bit disappointing. And it's a good place to hide out in a very difficult South African market, but don't expect too many fireworks.
Yeah, and your point, I mean, it's my argument with them always been, you know, I want to buy them as utilities, which means I need them on ideally a single-digit PE and frankly, a high single-digit dividend yield. They keep on trying to pretend they're a lot else, but at their core, really, data, voice, that is a utility.
And it's basically regulated prices. I mean, as investors, we've got to get used to the fact that, you know, and price of data and the price of voice is going to be regulated by the government through ICASA. So, you know, you just got to make sure that they operate sufficiently efficiently to be able to pay those dividends.
Before I let you go, banks, we've got the trading updates all out now mostly. We've got results will start coming in a couple of weeks. Was there anything from those updates that you looked at and sort of, you know, perked your interest, or are you very much going to wait for the results? I mean, the HEPS numbers, I mean, APSA really basically profit disappearing. The others around are sort of 30 to 50% down. Not surprising. And I suppose not surprising, the market's been taking a bit of a jaundiced view.
Yeah, it's a horror show, right? I mean, you saw those APSA results. I expected a much weaker performance. You saw Standard Bank came out a couple of weeks ago talking about profits halving. Inflation was a similar sort of theme. APSA, complete wipe of profits. And, you know, I've been asked this question a few times now, Simon. Banks came into this, you know, it was a very tough environment. Loan books were not growing. And the only thing that they really had going for them was but an interest margin, as well as, you know, very well-controlled impairments. They're very careful about how they live. COVID-19 comes in, interest margins completely wiped off, and, of course, non-performing loans skyrocketing. So it's no wonder that their profits are going to disappear. Another sector that looks cheap, but I think, for me, stay away from. If you've got exposure, you can maintain that exposure. I don't think banks are going to fail in South Africa. You know, certainly not the big six, but I think there's no point in adding any more exposure. Not worth taking the risk from where I sit right now.
Yeah, another one looking cheap, but not going anywhere anytime soon. This is now portfolio manager, Sasfin Securities. Always appreciate your time. Thank you.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mason Meheri. He's co-founder and chief solutions director at Law Trust. Law Trust, part of listed Etion, if I'm pronouncing that correct. Mason, really appreciate your time this morning. You're a division of the listed company, but we want to talk around your part of the numbers, that being Law Trust. And truthfully, a knockout period. You know, revenues are doubling, profits doubling. Were there particular areas of your business that were sort of outstanding, or was it just a general sort of uplift in the business?
Good morning. You know, it's an interesting question, because often results like this become topical because it looks like we've done an amazing thing in the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But actually the groundwork for this kind of growth has been laid for a few years, you know, where we realized that we actually have to change our business so that we are led by the customer experience and not just the rearward-looking accounting that you normally apply to business. You know, so by making those changes in the business, we've kept the business relevant, and we've actually seen this kind of growth across all lines of business for us. And it has been quite an amazing year and a half.
So what we're applying then, I want to delve into some of the details around it. But, you know, obviously you're in the online space, you're in cybersecurity, you're in paperless offices. And one intuitively thinks, well, lockdown, you know, of course that helped. But what you're saying is, sure, lockdown might have helped, but this story goes way before lockdown. And getting to a doubling of profit and a doubling of revenue has been a long journey that sort of maybe lockdown added some cream on top, but would have come regardless.
I think that's a pretty good summary there. You know, we had a look at our business a few years ago, and we said, you know, things are going well, but what can derail us? You know, what are the things that we need to change? And it really came down to, let's look at the basics. You know, where are we differentiated, not only in South Africa, but in the world? You know, let's look at those things where we're really strong. Not fancy new high-risk kind of areas, but let's look at the things that we're really good at, you know, and how can we make that experience for customers even simpler? And we looked at our concentration risk. You know, are we doing too much business in government, which many years back was definitely the case, but expanding into our digital trust services like digital signatures, you know, that's something that any company needs, not just the government and not just the bank, you know. So we had to look at the concentration risk of our product lines. We had to look at the concentration risk of our geography, the currency. You know, only last year did we pull the trigger on starting to expand internationally, and that's part of the success. We were doing the same thing that we do well here. We've now started taking onto the road into the Middle East and pretty soon into North America as well. You know, so again, looking at the basics, making sure the people, and everybody always says that in business books, but it's not always that easy. You know, the people must be in the right places, but they must also be doing the right things. And why we say that is because we want to get rid of the dramas in the business. It's these crazy times. You know, if you can reduce the drama in your business, you can actually focus on the things that's important, and that is keeping your customers happy.
Yeah, and your customers. I mean, you talk government, of course. You got some big customers, but your offering, which is the likes of, as you say, digital signature. You know, I'm a tiny little business, a two person business. You know, we're using digital signatures. We're using paperless office. In essence, it's across the spectrum. Are you working much in that much sort of smaller? I mean, almost SME, or maybe that's too small. They need it, but it might not be viable for you. Or are you focusing more sort of large corporates?
It's really across the board. You know, we sometimes have a laugh at it because we get just as excited about selling a 1,000 Rand SSL certificate to a small business as we do when we get a 1 billion Rand over 10 years for a national ID card deal. You know, so because the beauty of having a cloud-based offering in some areas, you know, a lot of the government stuff we usually do on-prem, but we also have a very strong cloud or trust center-based business. You know, so the beauty of that is you can do pay-as-you-go type solutions, you know, which means we are very affordable for small businesses, but we can scale to meet the demands of our international customers. You know, and the cloud infrastructure has really enabled us to compete. I'm actually going to say it slightly differently. The majority American cloud infrastructure has allowed us as a South African IT company to compete with the Americans, you know, which is quite amazing.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, I you know, I remember back in the 90s and the talk of the paperless office, and you know, we're not there. I'm sitting in a studio now. There's, you know, half a dozen computers, but there's also a whole bunch of paper here. But we really are sort of, the space is there, the tech is there, the high-speed internet is there, the cheap data storage is there. We're in that space where tech really is coming to the fore and fundamentally revolutionizing how businesses, big and small, actually work.
That's right. You know, and I think COVID has been a horrible experience for the world, you know, but the one thing that it has done is it's accelerated everybody's digitalization strategy. You know, the world has now done in 3 months what they were probably planning to do in the next decade, you know, to get systems and processes digitalized, get flexibility, allow people to work from home. Now, with that, they're experiencing more of the problems that come in the area. You know, so for example, authenticity is a huge problem. You know, that is why you've got to be so careful of what news you believe. You know, that's why you're going to reputable outlets. You know, so we are finding the same things, that there's issues in authenticity, for example, in electronic signatures. You know, a lot of people are just pasting a signature into a document and they think that's an electronic signature. But actually, you need to positively identify. You need ID proofing. Just like the banks do ID proofing before you allow to bank with them, you need ID proofing to have a meaningful signature. You know, and those are the things that we've taken apart, looked at it to see, is our process simple enough? Can our process scale internationally? And then let's go make people happy. You know, so we've taken these things apart. We've really looked at the essentials of what is the market needing now, you know, and this need to find the truth, to have authenticity, but still be super easy. You know, that really is what we should all be focusing on.
Yeah, I am. That's what Microsoft said, that like sort of 4 years of development suddenly happened in a period of maybe a couple of weeks. Mazen Meheri, co-founder, Chief Solutions Director at Lawvest, appreciate your time. When you protect your monthly income against the risk of injury, illness and death, you protect your future and the impact you make on those around you. FMI has been protecting South Africans' income for over 25 years, constantly innovating to provide greater claim certainty and cover for more occupations than ever before. Make your impact. Protect your income first. FMI, life done better. FMI, a division of Bidvest Life, is a licensed life insurer and authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Viv Govender, portfolio manager at Rand Swiss, and in many senses, Viv, my go-to guy for China. The China-US trade wars certainly been ratcheting up. We've seen Huawei being banned in the 5G space. They've been restricted on what parts they can buy for their mobile phones. More recently, TikTok and WeChat. Certainly, my sense is this is all part of the bigger trade wars. My question to you initially, Viv, China's response has been muted. I mean, they could ban Apple, which would be a significant play. They seem to almost make, are they waiting for an election, perhaps a new president come January 2021, playing the longer game rather than sort of responding tit for tat to President Trump?
Yes, it is. But I think to a certain extent, we are kind of blinded to the overall global picture on China. It's not just the U.S. India, Japan, there's a number of other countries as well are making moves against China at the same time. And I think that, yes, of course, Trump is leading this this rally. But I mean, the Indians have banned TikTok as well. In fact, they banned it before the U.S. did. Japan has actually subsidized companies to look at looking at alternative places to basically move its supply chain. They've put hundreds of billions of dollars you know, worth of funding and subsidies into this to basically allow them to shift away from China. China, to some extent, I think, has overplayed its hand in the last couple of years, and especially since the COVID crisis. And the kind of negative political backlash is getting around the world. I think China is a strong country, of course, but it's not as strong as strong enough to basically set up a coordinated kind of like attack like this among multiple countries. Yes, it's true that we are going to see likely a Biden-Harris victory, but that being said, I mean, I just saw the stats from Nate Silver from 538, and the weird thing is that his numbers for basically the odds of Biden-Harris winning are almost exactly the numbers for Hillary Clinton beating Donald Trump in 2016. So yes, Biden has a 2-to-1 advantage, but so did Hillary Clinton going into the election in 2016, and you never know exactly who's going to win these kind of close calls.
Yeah, I saw that stat, and to your point, in a two-horse race, the favorite might not win. That's always quite very possible. China, obviously, for us as South Africans, you know, the Tencent, and then you know that then plays into NASPAS process. Is Tencent perhaps protected to a fair degree because they're so internal to China? Notwithstanding, they've got stakes in Tesla. I mean, they've got stakes in Epic Games. How insulated are they because of their their profit to a very large degree is sort of mainland China?
Well, I mean, that's one reason I think Trump targeted WeChat. He didn't target all of Tencent. He targeted WeChat. Mm-hmm. And I think that WeChat is a very different kind of app than anything we see in South Africa or anything we have experienced with, I think, in the rest of the world. As a Chinese friend once said to me, basically, with WeChat, you can live your life on WeChat. You can order food. You can order. You can go book your appointment at the dentist. You can pay the dentist. Mm-hmm. You can live your entire life on WeChat. And it was one of the reasons that apparently Apple had trouble breaking into China, because a Chinese person just had to have a phone with Android that could run WeChat, and they virtually had the entire functionality that they needed already in that. They didn't need anything extra. So WeChat's a very important part of the Chinese system. So I think the fact that they were able to target WeChat is more, it's quite smart, especially like you did say, if you target the whole of Tencent, you can affect things like Fortnite, which if you have younger relatives, would be a very dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, don't stand on the toes of the Fortnite players. They take that very, very seriously. We'll leave that there. Viv Govender, portfolio manager, Rand Swiss, appreciate your time this morning. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. You find us on the MoneyWeb website or the MoneyWeb app, and then podcast from 7 a.m. Again, MoneyWeb website or the app, or wherever good podcasts are aggregated. Chat to us on social media, hashtag MoneyWeb. Now, this show was proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. A massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.